You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
The Eastern Conference has really two of the best teams in the NBA, obviously, with the Celtics and Bucks. And it looks like now they're going to get Chris Middleton back on Friday. Sean Little of MSG Networks. We can get to, obviously, the Knicks if we'd like to at some point here. But when you just look at the East as a whole right now, I mean, there are obviously a lot of expectations coming in for the Celtics or for the Bucks. With Chris Middleton returning to Milwaukee, does that then elevate them over Boston in your eyes? Or do you still have the Celtics as the best team in the conference?
First things first, Ryan, I'm so happy to see you on Packer Week.
No. Give it to me really quick before you just give it to me. It's a big week, and I know you've been waiting for this.
Nah, man, I want us to lose. I want the draft pick. So it's just been a very enjoyable NFL season to see you guys struggle. It's been amazing, actually.
Thanks, Sean. My parents got divorced in the third grade. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I understand. Hey, that was the last time you guys weren't good, was probably the third grade. So,
I was going to leave the Bulls alone, but I'm a fan too, so.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, switching over to the NBA. Getting Middleton back for the Bucks is obviously a big get, right? He's their third, and let's be clear here, he's their third best player. Everyone says he's the second guy to Giannis. Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. second best player on that team. He's number three. He's still a great addition, obviously, when he gets back for the Bucks. But right now, nobody is messing with the Boston Celtics. Offensively, they are just a juggernaut. They are super locked in. Adding Brogdon was a massive get. They needed a guy that wants to handle the ball, wants to run the offense. They kind of just threw Marcus Smart into that position last year, and it worked, and they looked really good, and we know they went to the finals and took an L. But this year, they have just unlocked a whole new level on the offensive end. I mean, they could literally score 140 a night every night, and they're looks like they're trying to. So, no, Boston is number one in the league right now for me, Middleton or no Middleton.
Who do you think is the best team in the West? Because it feels very compact, right? And I think the easy answer is probably Suns, right? But we know that the Suns are a regular season monster and have had some interesting struggles, even though they did make it to the finals 2 years ago in the postseason.
Yeah, it's super jammed up over there. You know, everybody's 2-3 games out of first out in the West. I think the answer is the Suns, though. I feel like I always come back to the Suns, and us in the media try to find ways to disrespect the Suns and discredit them. But overall, they have the chemistry. The Aiden thing has seemed to blown over, and they're playing well. And Booker seems to say, hey, okay, Chris Paul is not going to be around for right now. We'll see him when he comes back. But I'm just going to go out there and get buckets. I'm not going to shoot any threes for the most part. I'm going to get to my mid-range game and go to work. But there's a lot of good teams in the West. I really love the Pelicans. They're a lot of fun. If they can get everybody on the floor at once and do that for a stretch, which nobody does in the NBA, but when they do get all their guys back and play a bunch of games, they'll start to move up the ladder. I like what Denver's doing. There's a lot of good teams in the West, but I will go with the Suns because it's a proven squad. And when Chris Paul gets back, they'll be even better.
Sean, I got to do it, actually, man. The Bulls, I call it basketball hell. Like
I tried to tell you last year.
I thought, like,
I did.
Well, So everything, Sean, went to hell when I moved here, okay? Check this out really quick. I hate the East Coast. I hate D.C. So I'm living in the Midwest, right? Green Bay Packers, best team in the NFC North, 13-win football team. The Chicago Cubs, believe it or not, were in first place when I moved here. 3 months later, I'm walking down to Nats Park to wave goodbye to Chris Bryant as they're trading him away. Everything's kind of falling apart in my life. The Bulls were the number one seed in the East. Remember Lonzo Ball? Yeah.
I do remember
He was hitting 40% from three and still being, he was still one of the better on-ball defenders in the league. Since then, since I moved here, everything has fallen apart. DeMar was a nice story last year. They overpay for Zach. And Vooch, don't even get me started on Vooch. Vooch has actually been all right this year, but the Bulls are terrible. They're a bad team. And today I wake up to Billy Donovan signing his extension, which we knew was coming. Where are they going? Because this isn't even basketball. Hell, this isn't even a team that goes to the first round and gets gentlemen swept by the Bucks. This is a bad team, right? So what do they do now?
Yeah.
I hate them.
I agree. The coming into the year, we were kind of in that spot where we felt like we had to pay Zach, so we paid him. And we, I mean, the Chicago, you see the hat? You see I'm taking it
No, we're we guys, Roger. Yeah, yeah, we're we guys.
Back to the glory days.
Yeah.
But... yeah, it's not good right now. And they're in that spot where you're middle of the road. You know you can't really make a deep run in the playoffs with the roster you have, but you're also not bottoming out to try to figure out a higher slot in the lottery. DeMar is still a good story, but he can't carry the squad by himself. We clamored for a point guard for a really long time. That was what was wrong with the team. We got one. You saw how good they were playing with Lonzo Ball running the show. Lonzo goes down. We're right back into a situation where we're not very good. Zach doesn't look like – that's going to go down as one of the worst deals that the Bulls have signed, I believe. I hate to say that because I'm a Zach fan. I just think he's going to break down. I don't think he'll be able to play more than 50 games over the next couple seasons. That contract's really going to start to wear. And then I'm still waiting on Pat Williams to do something. Really quick, actually, I had a really good conversation, and Zach, I want you to jump in on this too. We were talking about the Bulls player development. I think that it gets overshadowed. No one talks about that. I think the Bulls player development is one of the worst in the league.
Yeah.
We talk about Wendell Carter. He goes to Orlando. He's a lot better.
Campaign was
one of the worst basketball players on our team. One of the worst basketball players I've seen.
Ever.
At the point guard position. He had no business being in the league.
Yeah.
Then he goes to Phoenix. He goes down to the G League. Comes up as an impact player, and then you see what Lauri Markkanen is doing. He's absolutely unlocked a whole new level. We know he was playing under Boylan, and that was never a good situation, but there's a lot of question marks around the Bulls. That's my squad, and a lot of these young guys. So now I get paused to like move off of Pat Williams because I see all these young guys across the league who are hooping that were once with us, and it's like maybe the problem's internal. So right now I don't know what they do. It's going to be – they're going to have to be sellers here eventually. I just don't know when that's going to be.
All I'm going to say is, like, imagine if Nick Nurse was running the show there. Because you want to talk about player development. Like, look at the Raptors. What they do, all those guys were G League players. Van Vliet was a G League player.
Yep. Pascal Siakam was a G League player.
OG, I mean, like, all these guys, and look what he does. And great point about that, man, because all these guys go elsewhere. And then they're NBA players. And it's been a problem since 1999.
You could be a Knicks fan like me and have to deal with that, which is even worse. Talking to Sean Little, MSG Networks, BetMGM tonight. You know, I look at this Cavs team. I was really interested to see what they would look like once they got Donovan Mitchell. And obviously with Darius Garland, there's, you know, look, some semblance of growing pains. They got to learn to play together. These are two stars. But they've done relatively well. Donovan Mitchell's putting up MVP numbers this year. When you watch them now, they're plus 200 to win the Central Division, but they got to deal with the Bucks, obviously. What's the ceiling for Cleveland this year?
The Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. They're that good. I really like that whole roster. And that's another thing. With Garland coming back off, because they looked really good without Garland, right? Mitchell was just purely, here's the rock, pound it, score. And then the rest of the guys, Evan Mobley will score when needed. And then we'll play a lot of defense, Jared Allen, the gang. We know how they're constructed. But Garland coming back in the fold, that'll take time to get some chemistry until they start to get rolling. Chemistry is a really big thing in the NBA that we don't talk about enough. Look at the situation in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. That situation wasn't working. Cat goes down, and all of a sudden, they look solid last night. They beat Memphis at home. Ant gets more usage. That's a big thing for them. We know that Ant-Man is a monster. So it's chemistry is a really big thing. It'll take some time for those guys to get rolling, but I really like Cleveland. I really like that roster construction. And that's the team that can slow up Boston a little bit. We saw it earlier in the year when they went heads up. That was the lowest scoring game Boston, or one of the lowest scoring games Boston's had all year. They match up really well with Boston. I think that's a fun matchup. I really think the Cleveland Cavaliers can go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Let's stay with the Timberwolves. Do you think, Sean, there's a possibility that they could trade Karl Anthony Towns? They obviously made that trade for Rudy Gobert, which an executive told me might go down as a top five worst NBA trade of all time, like Danny Ainge fleecing again on a new team. Obviously, they made that for Karl Anthony Towns, but that's not really, you know, a four spot is not really what he does well. Do you think that there's a possibility they trade Karl Anthony Towns? And what do you think is realistic to get back for him?
I don't think they end up moving Cat. I think that's one of those situations. He just got the big deal recently. He's kind of embraced that franchise in that area. That's a big thing when we talk about moving pieces out of there. But what could you get for him? You could get a lot for Cat, depending on the situation. I'm not a big picks guy. We had a joke earlier this week. I was talking to some other buddies, and we were talking about, look, you could just be one of the best GMs in the NBA for 6 to 7 years if you just stack picks every year. You never have to win anything. Just be like, hey, I have tons of picks, guys. Don't worry. We're going to make something happen. Then go get some more picks the next year. Then go get some more picks the next year after that. Like, oh, yeah, I'm good. We'll be good in 5 years. Don't worry. And then next thing you know, it's 7 years, and they haven't done anything, and they still have a bunch of picks. But I don't think they move Cat. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they play now with him out of the fold. But it's going to be interesting because that the Gobert and Cat thing wasn't working. And now Gobert just really gets to go back to what he does best, hang out in the post, not have to worry about spacing as much. That's a big thing. Those two big dudes, they were clogging up a lot of space for D'Angelo, who's trying to play a little better. And Ant-Man, his usage is going to go up, and it'll be fun to watch those guys. We'll see.
You know, Sean, my Knicks are stacking picks, so you know they've got a bright future, right?
I work for the Knicks. I work for the network. I really like what the Knicks are doing. The Knicks are very similar to the Bulls in a lot of ways for me, where they have players. They don't seem to when it comes down to it, they don't compete with the big boys. They beat the Pistons three times this year. That's a big chunk of their wins on the season. And every time they go up against a really big team, they'll play tough, but they can never close it out. We saw it with Memphis last week. We saw it with Giannis and the Bucks last night. Giannis fouls out. They have a chance. They come back and tie the game. They end up blowing it. They get a bad shot from RJ Barrett to close the game out there. So they're very similar to the Bulls in the sense where they're just like a middling basketball team. They feel just like play-in squads. So it's going to be tough, but I love the Jalen Brunson pickup. He's a monster.
Yeah.
He can really hoop, and he's always been like that too. He was a killer in the Chicagoland area in high school.
Remember when he gave the middle when he flipped off the crowd in the third place game? Were you there for that by chance? And I was there for that.
I do remember that, man. He was awesome at Stevenson. He was a really good player. So I'm glad that that's working out. When he's on the floor running the offense, you could tell how much it calms the whole offensive flow down. Julius seems to get in a little bit more of a rhythm, and RJ's still trying to find his slot and kind of figure out what he's going to do there. They have picks. They have an opportunity to potentially get better. There's a lot of things off the court that people are talking about that could also help the franchise,
yep.
But I don't,
that's where we're going, Sean. So I just want to give you a scenario. We have less than a minute. In terms of the fan base, say Tibbs does get fired. Would you rather, for the fan base, rather have Ime Udoka as the new head coach or Quinn Snyder?
Oh,
I love what Quinn did in Utah, but Ime seemed to unlock the switch when he made that move January or February for the Celtics. It's if you want to deal with the PR nightmare that's just like the Cleveland Browns are dealing with, then you sign Ime and try to get wins, and hopefully that'll cover it up. But I would take Ime just strictly from a player bonding type of situation. And what he did with the Boston Celtics last year was impressive.